May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There are times when people say things in the middle of a conversation, sometimes awkward things. Maybe you're sitting at a table having a good chat, and then someone says something that abruptly changes the subject, or something that's not appropriate to the moment, or both. It's just awkward, and you don't know how to react. Do you ignore it, or do you take it on and respond as best as you can? Today's reading from the Gospel of Luke invites us to imagine what happened one day when some people raised the question about a terrible incident committed by the Roman governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate. What was the purpose of raising this spontaneous question? And why does Jesus react the way he does? He seems vexed and responds in a very direct way. This passage is an example of hard sayings that we find in the Bible. It touches upon judgment and repentance, themes that we often encounter during Lent, but which we don't usually like to talk about. What is clear is that Jesus makes his point, and we assume that his listeners understood it. So, let's try to understand what Jesus says, what his main point is, and what we can learn from it for our own lives. Here's the scene. For some time, Jesus has been conversing with his disciples and with many others present. He touches on several topics, such as the importance of being vigilant in their faith and of discerning the times. While he is speaking, as often happens, someone spontaneously makes a statement or asks a question. Interruptions are not always bad. But this time seems to be different. In this case, the speakers who interrupt Jesus are unspecified, a few people. We don't know who they are or why they are there. But what they say is absolutely shocking. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, had taken the blood of some Galileans who had been killed and mixed it with their sacrifices. This statement seems to come out of nowhere, and based on Jesus' reaction, it seems that they wanted to show that these victims must have done something really wrong to be killed in such a cruel way. The people who interrupted Jesus may also have wanted to get him into trouble with the Roman authorities, that is, to catch Jesus saying something controversial against Pilate. Luke only gives us a few bits of information here, but what we have shows us that Jesus responds very directly and with strong words. He asks them to clarify what they mean, and then he challenges them. Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Jesus shifts their attention from their speculative outbursts to their judgmental attitude. And he reminds them of their own need to repent before God. They seem to be insinuating that what happened to those Galileans must be due to their sins. If God's judgment fell on them, it's because they deserved it. Now, this is a well-known theological dilemma in scriptures. That is, when bad things happen to people, are the victims to be considered punished by God because of their sins? If you know the book of Job, you know that that is one of the main line of questioning. But we find it here and there in other parts of scriptures. It concerns speculation about the relationship between human behavior on one side and God's judgment on the other. But Jesus doesn't wait for their answer and emphatically says, no, they are not more guilty than others. And he turns their speculation into a call to repentance. It's as if he was saying, you make this kind of judgment, but what about you? "Have you repented of your sins to be reconciled to God?" Now, the conversation could have ended here. But not only does Jesus not join in their speculation, he also mentions another example of a tragedy from their time. The Tower of Siloam in Jerusalem, which fell and killed 18 people. It's a tragedy. Was God punishing their sins? Was God punishing them for their sins, for their behavior? Were these victims more guilty than the other inhabitants of Jerusalem? Again, Jesus refuses to speculate on the cause and warns them again. "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish, just as they did." This is a call to repentance before God, a call to change one's way of thinking and of behaving, acting. Here again, the conversation could have stopped there, but Jesus tells a parable to drive the point home. It's a very short story that anybody of those times could have understood. It's the story of a barren fig tree. But how does this story help us to understand Jesus' reaction to their provocative statement? The owner of the vineyard is impatient because his fig tree is not bearing fruit. It would be better to cut it down and use the land to plant another tree. But the gardener asks his boss to wait one more year, to give the tree a chance to bear fruit, to produce figs. If it doesn't bear fruit, then it will be cut down. Now, obviously, this story is not meant to instruct people how to do gardening, right? No, it's there to be a picture of divine patience. Divine patience. God gives people time to repent. So some principles are clear in Jesus' response to those who expressed such a rash judgment. Divine judgment is a reality. This was a truth recognized by all Jewish religious movements, and Jesus speaks about it as well. However, the question remains, if bad things happen, and we know that bad things do happen, mere speculation is of little use. Since the question of whether God specifically has sent a misfortune is generally not within the reach of human knowledge. On the other hand, things that we do know, repentance, which consists in turning to God and receiving his forgiveness, is available to everyone. We are reminded that one of the key parts of the ministries of John the Baptist and of Jesus was to call people back to God. Jesus says, "I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners." This incident from Luke's gospel is a practical demonstration of his mission to bring people back to God. So what about repentance and judgment for us today? The themes of repentance and judgment are not typical subjects that we discuss at table. They're hard to talk about and can make us a little bit uncomfortable. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about them. They are real questions that require clear answers and not pure speculation. Speculation can lead to an attitude of comfortable intellectual distance. I'll say it again, comfortable intellectual distance. I say that twice because I know it well. I've been there many times. I've done it myself, and it is a trap. The more we speculate, the more we might think we've figured everything out. And strangely, we don't focus on things that we do know and that matter in the present. I'm not saying we shouldn't think about tough questions. Rather, that we should avoid forming a theory or conjecture without firm evidence, especially when we're talking about God's judgment. A way forward, then, is to respond by stating what we do know from the scriptures, and respond with the attitude of Jesus and the gardener in the parable. Jesus responds to those of the crowd in a way that reminds them that speculation and uncaring judgment are far from God's heart. God does not take pleasure in deaths caused by human acts of perversion or tragedy. Jesus' response to their unkind words is an invitation to repentance. And the parable of the fig tree, the barren fig tree, illustrates very well today's reading in Isaiah. They mirror each other. I read, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." This invitation has not changed. It is here today for all of us. The big question is whether we will receive it. Repentance can seem hard, maybe even old-fashioned. But the Bible and church tradition both show that repentance is the royal road to restoring broken relationships with God and with others. As we come to the table today, let us confess our sins. We confess our sins, we acknowledge our sins before God, and we receive his forgiveness through Christ's sacrifice. As we do this, let us be encouraged by the Apostle Peter's words. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Amen.